numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from the South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the strip. If you are someone who visits Vegas, which I'm going to say 99% of the audience is, someone who visits Vegas on a yearly basis, biannually, whatever it is, check out the South Point from time to time. If you want something off the strip, if you want to get away from the action or the crowds, I should say, specifically on a particularly busy weekend, come down to the South Point. It's, movie theaters, great food. What else you got here?
Well, 3-2 blackjack, hot dog car, buffet, Michael's. Come on.
I mean, it sells itself, ladies and gentlemen, especially that hot dog cart. South Point, due south of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. By the way, still to come this hour, Dan Weston joins us from across the pond. Talk a little tennis. Zach Cohen, we'll throw in some tennis with him as well. And his thoughts on the NBA Finals. Ben Wilson already calling his shot on Djokovic tomorrow. We'll see what Dano and Zach have to say about that match. If they've got anything going on with Swiatek later today as well. By the way, Sabalenka broke Mukova, but then Mukova broke her back. Not literally broke her back, but, you know, break of serve back. So we are on serve 5-4 in the second set. Mukova took the first set 7-6. Ladies and gentlemen, time for Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger.
Yeah! Where's he at this week, Gil?
Great question, Kelly. We bring in Bill Krakenberger to answer that very thing. Where are you this week, Bill?
I'm locked down in the basement of my brother-in-law's house. Yeah, in Baltimore, outside of Baltimore.
Outside of Baltimore. There you go.
Yeah, they put me like. Oh, well, they know that I'm loud. I'm very nocturnal, and they're not. They're normal, you know. So they put like I'm like flowers in the attic here.
Has the poor air traveled southward enough to you?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We woke up this morning not thinking this was going to happen here. It smells like smoke outside. It's definitely smoky. We didn't know. And, I don't think they know which way the winds are going. And it's definitely coming down here. And I'm driving up north because I'm actually driving up to Connecticut for a day or two. I still have Super Bowl tickets to cash. So I'm actually going to drive up there. But that's probably even dangerous doing that. But I have a nonstop flight out of, which, by the way, is a really cool airline. It's called Breeze. They have first class. They have like 30 first class seats, and they're like they start at $200 and some for a first class seat.
Is that right? Nonstop. Wow.
Yeah, Breeze goes to Fort Myers, like Charlotte, different little places outside Charlotte. There's a Charleston. They go to like some good towns, and they're. The CEO of JetBlue started Breeze. It's a great airline from Las Vegas. I think there's 7 nonstop cities. And, you know, if anyone never gets to go first class, I'm telling you right now, I've been on them 3 or 4 times now. It's like a regular big first class seat, chargers for your phone, all the conveniences of first class. So anyway, that's something I'm doing.
There you go. A little airline tip for you. That's a good one. Actionable information right there from the crack man. Breeze Airlines, 30 first class seats. I did not know that.
Yeah, they're big. They're big. What's up, Kelly? I see you looking.
I was asking the guy. Bill, you brought up another airline like it was a couple months ago. I couldn't remember if it was the same one or another one. Airline tips from Bill Krakenberger.
I don't remember that. Really? Did he?
But I mean, I don't mind going on Spirit in the big front seats. They have big front seats you can travel in, and they're just as comfortable.
All right,
you have to deal with some of the crowds.
Now
and
you
some
lost
of the cities
me. Yeah. You went too far, Bill. You went too far.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no. Breeze is good. JetBlue, I was talking about probably. JetBlue has those seats that they're called the Mint Service, where they're sleeper seats. Unbelievable. JetBlue. I could have been talking about that. So.
You were saying that you had good things to say about casinos. Did I hear that right?
You know, I went to one of the local casinos here. There's about 3 or 4 of them. There's 3 of them, I think, here. And the one I went to make some futures bets, which we don't have the sports books back home. Oh, God, I just called Vegas back home. We don't have the sports books in Vegas. But Jersey does have them. But so I wanted to make some future bets here. And when I went down there, I found an unusual rule there. They want you to pull the money out of your bag or out of your pocket first. They want to see the money. on the counter. You have to like let the camera see the money before they can push the tickets. I thought they punch the tickets. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
But my thing is, you know, there's a couple cities in America that I really don't want a casino. Wherever casinos are is usually bad air.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, so you're pulling out, and I was making some pretty large future bets. So I'm pulling out a stack of bills, and, you know, and now I'm waiting for approval. There's a lot of people behind me that are saying, wow, that's a nice stack of money. Where you parked? So let's pull
it
what it is.
I'm laughing because I think Bill's talking about my old stomping grounds. Are you talking about D.C.? What are you talking about?
Maryland. No, it's Maryland.
In Maryland.
They're in Maryland. You know, I didn't even realize I always fly to this airport because my brother-in-law, I told you already, he's a Secret Service agent. Well, now he's a supervisor, and he works at the White House, but yet I fly into this airport instead, BWI. But there's another one up by where you used to live, right? Reagan, is that?
There's National Airport, which they renamed Reagan, right? You know, in recent decades. That's the one that most people who live in D.C. take. International, those Dulles. Dulles is the one out in Virginia.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I'm
But BWI, yeah, BWI is sort of the RC Cola, if you will, of airports. Yeah, in the D.C. metropolitan area.
It was pretty convenient, though. It was good.
No, it's great. It's absolutely great. Yeah.
Yeah, they fly nonstop from Vegas. A couple different airlines fly nonstop, so that's pretty convenient.
Wait a minute. So I want to get to this. So this is a very strange thing you said. They won't take the bet unless you... What do you mean? Put the money on the counter and then you let them take a shot of it?
I'm told that most of the two casinos by BWI, which, by the way, there's two, like, within 20 minutes of BWI, and when you go to make bets on sports, they want you to pull the money out, and they want the money on the camera, maybe not on the camera, but definitely on the counter in front of you before they're able to punch the ticket. I kind of didn't really get into asking why.
It's interesting.
But I think it's because people, but I'm thinking even if they run off without the ticket, with the ticket, like, I'm just trying to think, can't they just cancel the ticket? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, so that's one of the things I thought was kind of.
I had a little development here that my antennas were raised, and I'm a little worried because one of the things about living here in Las Vegas is we could still rely on a couple books to take a big bet that would have a massive payout. And when I was making a bet this week, specifically the Luis Arraez one, I had to go to more than one casino because when the odds are what they were, 80 to 1, you know, I was like, oh, it's 80 to 1 at both of these shops. I'll go to this shop. We'll only take this. Really? Well, why?
Shocking.
I was like, okay, well, I'll just take my business elsewhere. Then when I went to that one, they were like, no, we'll only take half. So then I ended up putting half there and half there. But I was like, oh no, if these two books have had their risk, because they actually told me at one of them, yeah, our risk management team is becoming particularly risk averse now. So if it were an 8 to 1, they would have taken my full unit, right? But at 80 to 1, they're not doing it anymore all of a sudden. And I think all of a sudden, at least all of a sudden, it has happened as I can best tell. And so if that's the case, if we now have these two shops that used to take big bets on big numbers but no longer do, this is actually a pretty big development, I would say, here in this state. I don't want to be too like Nevada-focused or Las Vegas-focused, but that worried me a little because the other shops that claim to be the best, right, either – typically don't even have these wagers available on a daily basis, right? So for all their chirping, they're actually subpar when it comes to this stuff. These were the two shops where you're like, sweet, it's up there. You can bet a big number. You can win a big number. But uh-oh, Bill, if that's happening, what are we doing?
I think it is happening. I think a lot of the risk departments have been told from upper management that, you know, or maybe it's just the risk department themselves wanting to do 8 hours, go home, and not take any big bets or any big decisions on their watch. That could be too. That happens a lot with a lot of these sports books. You know, I was a spokesman for PointsBet for a while, and when they first opened for the first couple of years, and boy, it was really tough dealing with a lot of people texting me and DMing me saying, "Hey, they won't take my bet." But really, like the CEO of the company, who I would text on a first name basis, I would text him and tell him he wasn't even really aware a lot of the times that this was happening. It was their risk department was so afraid to take a bet that it probably cost them in the end. The whole risk in general, everyone that was in there, they were just fearing taking bets for some reason or another. And, you know, we could see that PointsBet was just swallowed up by Fanatics a couple weeks ago. Not saying nothing bad about them. Trust me, a lot of those little companies there are all doing the same thing. But as far as this place goes where I bet, it's one of the biggest companies in the world. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. I was upset at first. I texted you, Gil. I was like, listen.
Yeah.
I just tried to bet $1,000 on a 5-to-1 shot. That doesn't settle until January of next year. And they told me $400 maximum bet. So they actually texted the home office, took about 10 minutes, and they took the $2,000 bet. So I was very happy in the end. And unbelievably, the next day I realized they didn't move the line. I went and bet another $1,000 on it. And the same thing, $400 maximum. They text. They didn't move the line. I got 5-to-1
good,
for another dime.
Good for you, because I got the call upstairs. Apparently three right. people were batting it around, and they're like, nope, yeah. sorry, still, this is all we're taking. So, I mean, you know it's bad when the people at the counter are embarrassed about it, right? Where they're like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, man.
When you get to that
point. They knew it was Phil Alexander, too. They know your real name.
I don't know.
Fair to you.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what was afoot, but if that's a development, good Lord, man. Uh-oh. More Unscripted with the Crack Man. We'll also hear from Zach Cohen and Dan Weston on the French Open. They're in a second set tiebreaker. Drama. Coming back with the Crackman next. Bill Krakenberger at Bill Krakenman with a K on Twitter. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. I believe Young Gil was correct on that one and not the promo department.
I believe you're right.
Uh-huh, okay. Chalk one up. I get off the board on that tally. I was probably down like 7-0 in
you're
those.
Like, yeah, you're like, yes.
Yes.
I got one.
Beat him on one.
58-1 now.
Little inside promo game we're playing here. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. Good, bad, and different. Just be funny. We love you for that. Robert Schaefer. Gil, the air quality is awful up here on Long Island. But I'd breathe easier knowing that sushi place. Good try, bro. Vegas regular. The music for Crackman, for Bill Krakenberger, always gets me excited. Love listening to him. And it is a sign that the weekend is near. Oh, I like that. Yeah. A little intro into the latter part of the week. Elvis Toast Patterson fan says, Bill, that flowers in the attic comment went right over their heads. I think Kelly's too young to remember that movie. And I don't think Gil would have watched it. Great movie. Yeah, you're correct. I would not have watched it. Yeah. Kelly just goes by him. Jason H. 11, the smoke in upstate New York is basically like if you are sitting around a campfire. It's a lot better today. Now it's like you wake up and smell like you spent last night around a campfire. Yeah, that's my recollection of it in the Bay Area, too. Again, like we'd be in San Francisco in the middle of the city, and you'd wake up one morning from the fires, and you're just like, oh, my God, what is happening? And it would last for a day or two or three maybe.
Yeah,
but
gross.
Then it has that smell afterwards. Everybody, please take care. Jim Devitt, who says, I'm sitting on a cough, cough. He's going, I'm sitting on a pizza money 500-to-1 ticket on Oral Roberts. Love the take on a numbers game. This is him coughing in the middle of the tweet, by the way. He keeps going, cough, cough. Sorry, texting, though, coughing again from upstate New York. He's very excited about his Oral Roberts ticket, in other words. Brian Young, favorite part of the week, Unscripted with the Crack Man and Gil. Love the honesty this segment brings. And always appreciate it. Bill, they love you. That's basically what the upshot of all those tweets are, man.
Really, really nice of people, man. I'm really humbled by it. Really cool. I want to talk about something that we may have talked about in the past, Gil. And, you know, I'm a little bit older, and you are too. You know, so we've been going to casinos for years. My first time in a casino, I was underage, I admit it. It was like 1985. I was literally like 15 years old, and I actually went to a casino. But so I've been going to casinos pretty long time. And you know, when you used to get your car from valet or even a waitress tip for a drink, you used to give her a dollar. I still notice now people still give $1. We are here 35 plus years later. You have to give more to the waitresses and to the and listen, I'm not saying, I know they're just, they're bringing you a drink and they make, you know, Vegas, it's funny, in Vegas, the waitresses make a lot more than here. Back East, they make a lot less money per hour. Waitresses in Vegas make up to giant money. I'll just tell you right now, I don't want to ruin their hustle, but they make good money. So there's good unions for waitresses in certain places and certain destinations, but still, it's a tough job. You're getting, it really isn't. I was talking to a waitress yesterday, and literally, that's still the number they give here is $1.
What's the appropriate amount, Bill? $2 or five, you know, or $5?
Here's what I do. I get two bottles of water all the times, or maybe even three. I get the waitress $5. I give, because they have these little shot glass bottles of water now in the casinos. They're trying to be real cute. God forbid they give you a bottle of water. They give you the little one. So, you know, I give them $5 for three bottles of water, and that'll satisfy me for my trip to the casino, or you know. Or even two bottles of water. That's what I give. Now, it's valet. When I go to valet, it's different because I keep my car up front. I depending on what day it is, I'll give them, you know, $10 or $20. Depending on the weekends, if they're going to keep it up at a certain casino, I'll give them $20. But $10 is sufficient to keep the car up, especially if it's only, you're only going in and out for 10 minutes. $5 is, they'll be happy to think, I'll make a fin and leave the car right there. But I think you have to give, you know, $3 to the valet guy when you get your car now. I was given a dollar back then. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're going to hear from some people that are watching us here on Twitter, and they're going to tell me, oh, no, Bill, I just give a dollar. Maybe it's still the dollars. But I don't think that's the – I remember my dad back at Resorts in Atlantic City giving a dollar or $2 back at the beginning. Like, I don't know. I just think you're supposed to give more money now. I think it's something that people don't think about. And you know what? Here's something that's weird. Gamblers are pretty cheap, believe it or not, for certain things. Other things are not. Certain things they are. You know, so it's like poker players, you know, they give a dollar for a bottle of water. That's wrong. You guys think you should give more. I just think, what do you think, Gil? Maybe if am I being too tough on that specific?
No, I mean, we've talked about this before. So I have a mandatory valet in the building I live. You're familiar with the building. And I give fives, right? I give fives because that's the currency that you and I are used to and that we can afford.
Gil, in those buildings, they give nothing. Well, they give zero.
Well, fives are, but here's the thing.
Trust fund kids, they don't give nothing in these buildings.
Fives add up though, right? Like, so it's not for everybody.
Sure.
I don't think you can make a blanket thing on that. You know, I think that's a very personal thing. But yes, your general point is right. Like if it was $1 35 years ago, it should probably not be $1 today.
Yeah.
For wages. But we've talked about the tipping thing is, again, one of these recurring segments that we do at least, I want to say once every 6 months, which is the one thing that I will say is I do believe. And again, this is just coming off the heels of me saying I give the valet guys $5 is. I do believe that the tipping culture, this is just my perspective, and people can let the hate wash over me. The tipping culture in this town is out of hand, though. Like, I do lean to the Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, right, where it's like, oh, really, everybody needs a tip? So, I mean, I don't think, we talked about it with sportsbook specifically, right? If I frequent your sportsbook, and I know you, like, you know me and I know you, I will, when I win, I will tip you, right? But if I'm going to a one-off sports book and I win a sports bet and you're casting dispersions on me because I didn't tip them because I won, I'm quite fine with you thinking that I'm the wrong guy. Yeah, I'm quite fine with you judging me for that. It's sports betting is if you put everything on a spreadsheet, you know how hard it is to win to begin with. For you to now start tipping randomly on every bet you win just seems like such a ridiculous Vegas culture-induced thing. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, no, I think you're referring to the episode, I hope you are, because it's a great episode of Curb, with Larry David, when they're in a restaurant and you tip the waiter, and then there's a line for the captain. And he said, what do I tip a captain?
The captain.
And he says, well, the waiter tips the captain, right? Obviously, he didn't. Larry got his car locked in the parking lot for a couple of days.
Captain.
But
what do I tip a captain? That's right. No, I think it's an interesting subject because there are some people, look, and again, we'll bring this up, and for those who have heard this before, I apologize, but the real sports betting application of this, where it really has the most gravitas, is when somebody wins a contest here. And Bill, I will tell you, I have gotten texts and phone calls from contest winners that I know personally. The biggest anxiety they have is once they figured out that they're going to win this contest, whether that's the week before the last of a season-long football betting contest, whether it's just on the final weekend, whenever it is, you know what even ratchets up the anxiety? I know this sounds crazy to people. Like, of course, nothing's going to have more anxiety than winning the big prize, the 6 or 7-figure prize to begin with. You know what causes them just as much? How much do I now have to tip this proxy? Because this person or this sports book is expecting, quote unquote, this percentage. And I'll tell you, those contest winners are like, I'm not giving them that percentage. What did they do for me? We had an arrangement. Right. I did. Right. And by the way, some of those contest winners to this day are hated by these people. By the way, no surprise to me. They still hate me too, right? But they hate these people because they don't feel like they tipped them enough. I side with those contest winners.
This is a very touchy subject. And you know what? I don't think I've ever, maybe once I talked about this on the show. And when I won that money down at the M, the first year of the contest that they had, it was only 1 year. It was a big contest, $490,000 to the winner, which I actually won, the 490. My team, who I was with, I was partners with some other guys, and I hope not to get them upset. I had to go to them and say, listen, we got tips to give out here. We got tips to give out to the tellers. You know, we got tips to give out to, you know, management couldn't take a tip at the time. So unfortunately, they couldn't take a tip. But tellers, but I did it. You can ask that guy, Dave, that worked there, Sportsbook Consigliere. I gave everyone individual envelopes, what I felt that they deserved. Now, I'm going to tell you, there was 2 tellers I didn't like. They didn't get a grocery dollar.
There you go.
But the other tellers got overly tipped.
I like that, Bill. I like that approach. And I'm not saying don't give anything, but what these people were talking about is if they won, let's just take $1 million to make it even, right? And easy to think.
Sure.
They're like, they want 5% of my winnings. These people have wives and kids. They're like, I'm not giving them 50,000. That's what I'm talking about. And some people have their hand out for 5% of that. Nah, man, come on. That's a Vegas thing. You and I will disagree on that big amount. I'm with the contest winners. Wasn't me. Wasn't
all right.
Thank you, Billy. Always a pleasure.
See you guys.
Bill Krakenberger. Literally under a cloud of smoke in Baltimore, Maryland. Hope everybody's okay out there. Zach Cohen on the NBA and tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, this match is shaping up to be a classic. Mukova won the first set in a tiebreaker, 7-5 in the tiebreaker. Sabalenka, who was down a mini break and on, I won't say death's door, but she was close to it, she comes back to win the second set, tiebreaker 7-5, now up 1-0, 1-love rather, on serve in set number 3. Sabalenka Mukova, the first of the 2 women's semis. By the way, do you have Justin Rose, first round leader?
I have Rose and Cole, which...
Oh, both 1 stroke back.
Yeah, except for Cole's about to, he just doubled, so he's about to be 3 back.
Well, you got Rose 1 stroke back.
Yeah.
With 4 holes to play, 1 stroke behind both Matt Fitzpatrick and Matty Schmid.
Well, I'm sure everybody had.
Everybody had Matty Schmid. Of course they did. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jeff Staples, at the valet, are you supposed to tip when you pull up and when you get your car also? You know what? That's a great question. Nah, man. When I get my car, I'll tip. But yeah. I'm not doing it both ways. No. Because you go broke doing that.
I also think your situation is completely different.
Yeah,
too.
I live there.
You live there? Like, yeah. I would just, like, I would pay those guys once a year or something. Like, do a holiday
That's
pay,
also
right?
the way to do it. Holiday yeah. gift. That's right.
Give them something nice, then.
Vegas regular. I think the tipping culture is out of hand in most bigger cities these days. Chance Copperpot. Bill's the best. So honest about flights, casinos, food, tipping, etc. You really can learn a lot from listening to Unscripted. I missed the college baseball segments, boys. Are my 22-1 tickets on Texas and TCU live? Well, they are technically both alive, heading into the best of three super regionals. I have Texas. Do I feel great about it? I have them at 60-1. I don't, but I mean, they look good enough. We shall see. It's baseball, man. Anything can happen. You're rooting them on at this point. But it's certainly not, the favorite in the clubhouse. Jason H11, the tipping amount for drinks is a conundrum. Kelly, you'll love this one. He said, I struggle to tip more than a buck for a watered-down Jack and ginger that I waited 15 minutes or longer to get. I know they're short-staffed, but the quality isn't good. Help. You agree with that?
Yeah. My response to be with is this is how I handle it when I'm playing table games, Jason, because I understand the frustration. People can judge me for this if they want to or not. As soon as I get my first drink, I make sure to tip very, very, very nicely and very politely, Gil. Remind the waitress that this glass will be empty in about 15 minutes. If she wants to come back, just bring another one and I'll have another chip ready for her.
Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Pro tip of the hour.
The pro tip, man. If you're gonna get free drinks, yeah, you don't want to be sitting there waiting for 45 minutes trying to track down a waitress.
Every pro tip listed at VSiN.com. And then finally, it's not juice if you win, says, I think it depends, Bill, but I agree with Gil on the betting. Let's say your average bet is minus 110, you win $100. If I tip five, that changes the take, doesn't it not? And contest, they didn't make the picks or do the research. Yeah, people love that kind of subject, but tipping, we do it every once in a while on the show. Let's bring in Zach Cohen. Zach Cohen, ladies and gentlemen, a day before, I believe if I have his itinerary correct, a day before he is headed to his honeymoon to Italy. We wish him well, but he's kind enough to drop by before he goes. How you doing, Zach? VSiN Zone.
Doing well. How about you?
I'm doing very well. By the way, he writes for VSiN, betting analyst for VSiN, but he also does all kinds of things, including a podcast for the Tennis Channel. What's the name of that podcast?
It's not really a podcast. It's a live show we do called Tennis Bets Live on Wednesdays.
Tennis Bets Live, but available in podcast form? Because I was listening to it.
You know, I'm not even sure.
Yeah,
I think it
is.
It might be.
Yeah, no, it is.
Okay, well, that's good to know if someone is not on it.
Because I was not listening to it live, so maybe, I don't know if you technically call that a podcast, but I was listening to it after the fact, let's say. You do a great job on it. Congratulations on all of that. You work for other tennis outlets. Where do you stand? First of all, let me just update this match again. 1-1 in set number 3 in what is shaping up to be an absolute classic here. Do you have any plays on Iga today? Iga Swiatek, the world number one against Beatrice Haddad-Maia in the second semi, or more to the point, and let's get to it, Carlitos and Djokovic tomorrow. What do you got?
For today, just because I wanted to have a little bit of something, I put a little bit on Haddad-Maia to win over 5.5 games, hoping that, you know, the fatigue isn't as much of a factor as we might think, and she comes out in that first set with a little bit of adrenaline. I think that she can give Swiatek a little bit of trouble and maybe win 4 or 5 games in that first set, leaving not too much work to win in the second.
And then tomorrow, which by the way, has a, we should point out, the times are to be announced. So I'm going to assume, I shouldn't assume which is first, because I don't know if they're going to put Carlitos and Djokovic in the middle of the night or save that for the nightcap, but obviously Casper Ruud played the most recently. Ruud and Zverev in the second semi. What are your thoughts on both of those?
Yeah, I do think that they're going to try to put Alcaraz on a little bit later, even though I think that they're supposed to put them on earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I put up a write-up on VSiN.com. I'm really high on Alcaraz, mostly because of the court conditions. Like, I'm not trying to make some sweeping statement about who the best player in the sport is. I think that, you know, Djokovic is going to be the easy favorite going into Wimbledon, probably my pick to win that. But I do think that, you know, the slower courts make a lot works against Djokovic with this. I think that to beat Alcaraz, you really need to put a lot of pressure on him, hitting powerful shots deep in the court. You know, with the way these courts are playing so slow, I don't think he's going to be able to do that against Alcaraz. And I also think, you know, with Djokovic, such a big factor is that he's always the best returner on the court. But I'm not sure that's the case against Carlos, who's, you know, breaking at 40% this year, even better on these slower courts. And I just think that it's going to be a little taxing on Djokovic's body to beat Carlos now.
I am with you wholeheartedly, though I do concede minus 222 on Carlitos seems a little high, doesn't it to you?
Yeah, and it's crazy, you know, betting a guy that's like, he's won one Grand Slam, but he didn't have to go against any of the big three. You know, he's playing a legend in the sport. He's won more Grand Slams than Alcaraz has spent years on this earth. It's daunting, And there's definitely going to be some factor there where, you know, Djokovic is raising his play and Carlos gets a little nervous, but I think he has the goods. I think he'll get over it and find a way through.
All right. And then lastly, before we get to the NBA, Sasha Zverev, Casper Ruud, a virtual coin flip. Zverev, like a few pennies of a favorite in this. What do you think?
I think Ruud's going to get the job done. I kind of think that there isn't a player in the world that's a little bit more disrespected than Casper. I mean, he's made 2 Grand Slam finals in the last 12 months. I think he's going to go back to the final again here. He's played some really good tennis. I think he looks really good against Ruud. He really made him beat himself. He plays some unbelievable defense out there, which he obviously got from his idol, Rafael Nadal. And I think that Zverev has been playing unbelievable, but he hasn't been pushed in a way that I would have expected to this point in the tournament, which is a credit to his play. I just think that Ruud is going to come up with some big shots when it matters most. And I think that his game is a little too sturdy for Zverev, who has some mental strength issues out on the court.
Yeah, Casper Ruud was fantastic yesterday. Fantastic for those of us who gave out that bet as well. Okay, the NBA. 2-1 Denver after Denver's destruction of the Heat last night. If you look at the 3 games as a whole, I mean, Denver was up 15 at one point in game 2. They were up 8, as we talked about earlier this week, headed in to the fourth quarter. I mean, that's really, to me, it's sort of the macro statement of all this is like, if the Heat didn't have those 2 moments, I mean, this is just almost unwatchable. Like, if you didn't have bets on this series, I don't know how engaged the average fan who's not a Denver or Miami fan are. What do you see the rest of the way, and specifically in game 4, where the Nuggets are 3.5-point road favorites, the total is now down to 210.5. That is adjusting. Any thoughts on either of those?
I kind of think that you'll see the Heat win game 4 and then the Nuggets win games 5 and 6. I don't really see Miami going down without a fight. I think that the effort level was a huge problem in game 3. There just wasn't enough fight on that 2-man game between Jokic and Murray. And I think you'll see a little bit better effort in game 4. And I also think that, you know, with one day rest, there's more damage that Spoelstra can do with adjustments than Malone. I do think that it's a little odd that we haven't seen Hero at this point. I know we spoke about it last time. We expected him to be back. They can really use his shot making right now. We saw that in game 3, you know, with the role players just not stepping up. I think that's a huge factor in this series now. But I do think you'll get, you know, something from Vincent, something from Strus in game 4.
Yeah, the Hero thing, again, I'm glad you bring it up. It's like, okay, well, now do they bring him in? Like, I don't know. Is that the answer?
Woj seemed to imply that they're struggling with that decision too.
Oh, for sure they are. Like, I mean, whatever they're saying publicly, internally, they must be driving themselves crazy on this. Like, is this good? Is this, you know? And my instinct is that it's not. But Spoelstra knows a whole bunch more than we do. So, you know, he'll make the right decision. So just to clarify then, on this game, you would take the Heat plus the points, or you're taking Heat money line? You sprinkling on the money line here?
I would just take the money line. I do think that if they're going to be close in game 4, they're going to get the job done. So I think that plus 135 is a good price.
Okay. And then in tennis, you like Ruud tomorrow, but you're not touching. You're just going to sit back and watch Djokovic and Carlitos, or you have a bet there?
No, I'm taking Carlos minus 3.5 games.
Oh, okay.
I also kind of like minus 1.5 sets. I really think that there's not much that separates these two, but I think on these specific courts, there is.
All right, Zach, enjoy your honeymoon. Be safe. Travel well. Eat liberally. You will not gain a pound, sir.
Thank you.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Headed to Italy, Kelly. How good is that man's life right now?
Oh, man, sounds nice.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Eat pasta every day. Don't gain a pound.
Hey, that's what happens.
Walk all over the place. Great quality food. Makes you not gain a pound, as opposed to ours. Dan Weston on the French Open. Kelly and I talk some NBA. It's on the other side. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget BetMGM with promotions left and right, as always, on a daily basis, including this one, where the King of Sportsbooks is unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. And every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. So again, French Open, Roland Garros taking place while we're doing this show. We have hit both of our tennis bets this morning. Second day in a row where we've gone 2-0. So for the tournament, and again, we have both the Carlos and Iga futures intact. So for the tournament on matches, this is after starting 0-4, and this is after having a torrent of really bad beats early on. Down less than 2 units.
There you go. Make that money back.
So, you know.
It's a pretty good run.
You know, in the end, after that start, not so bad. And who knows? Maybe we break even on this anyway. And then just have gravy with those futures. Could have been worse.
Sounds like a good plan.
I hope so. Right now, again, a classic 2-2 third set between Sabalenka and Mukova on serve. Mukova. Sabalenka was the big $5 favorite heading into this one. And obviously, those of us with Swiatek futures watching intently. Swiatek to take on Beatrice Haddad-Maia a little later on. She's got work to do as well. We bring in Dan Weston. You can follow all of Dan's tennis musings at Betfair. Also on Twitter at Tennis Ratings. He does work for Pinnacle, of course, one of the great pillars of the offshore betting market. Dan joins us from his abode in England. How you doing, Dano?
I am well, Gil. How are you?
Doing very well. The shot is crystal clear, like you're right here in Vegas with us. Look at that. Very nice shot.
It won't be long until I'm back with you.
What's that?
It won't be long until I'm back with you.
That's right. I can't wait for that. We had a great time hanging out. It was great seeing you. It was great hanging out for hours, eating with you, and just rolling through casinos and getting all the observations. Listen, first of all, this match, I'm obviously doing a show, so I can't watch it. I know that you probably are. As classic as it appears to be, based on how this is going?
Yeah, and even this third set's had, you know, twists and turns. Sabalenka failed to break from love 40 up early on, and now she's advantage up, having been love 30 down on serve, just held 3-2 final set Sabalenka.
Wow. Wow. Imagine if this is a tiebreaker as well, and it's all three sets. Okay, so today, anything on Swiatek Haddad-Maia? Let's get that out of the way first.
I don't think so. I think that Iga's obviously massive odds on to win the match, and I think it would be the shock of the tournament for sure if she was beaten. Obviously, Haddad-Maia has actually beaten her before in three sets, and Haddad-Maia is actually, I think, won her last four matches here in straight sets. So Iga has probably barely played half of the minutes on court that Haddad-Maia has played so far in a tournament. Iga, 53-15 in matches in terms of sets so far. 53-15 games.
Oh, 53-15 in total games.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good, Dan, I'm told. I'm getting that in my ear. Let me see. Yeah, no, they're telling me it's good. 53-15. Hasn't dropped a set, hasn't let more than four games go against her in a set to this point. But that's Iga at the French Open. What about tomorrow, the men's semifinals? Let's start with the sort of, what do we call it, the preliminary. I don't know if it will be preliminarily chronologically, but I think that's what they're going to do, is have Sasha Zverev and Casper Ruud play first, where I'm guessing, we'll see what they determine. But it's virtually a coin flip. Who do you like?
For me, I think it's about right in terms of price. Actually, it's the second game. I've got the schedule in front of me. It's the second game
on
court tomorrow.
Wow.
So that's 16:30 UK. So that's 8:30 in the morning with you guys in Vegas. 8:30 in the morning, and that second game with Alcaraz, Djokovic, starting at 5:45 in the morning, your time.
Wow.
So, look, I think it's about right. The reason for that is in the tournament so far, in terms of their data from the five wins that they've picked up, Zverev has a very, very small edge. If you're looking at clay data this year, I think that's kind of negated somewhat, and it's very, very slightly on Rude's side. I think Rude's probably played slightly higher caliber of opponents. So I think it's pretty fair. I think if you forced me to bet on this, I would have Rude as that very, very slight dog, but there's not enough real value in that to actionable at all.
So what I'm finding out now will be the preliminary, but is actually, of course, the Titanic heavyweight match of them all. Djokovic and Alcaraz, which is what everybody expected to happen. When we got the draw and we found out they'd meet in the semifinals, and here we are. 22 Grand Slam single titles for Novak Djokovic. Carlitos, though, the favorite, and in American betting parlance, north of a $2 favorite. I'll ask, does that seem high to you? But in the British decimal system, does that seem short to you?
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know if you guys follow soccer much, but they call Barcelona versus Real Madrid the El Clasico.
Yes.
And for me, this looks like the tennis equivalent, two absolute titans only having their second career meeting. And the first being over a year ago when Alcaraz was still world ranked number 9. The tables have turned somewhat. Alcaraz was the slight underdog that day. Now he's the favourite, and I think he's pretty good value, actually, he's the favourite. So I'm going to be looking at potentially some handicap opportunities on him. Quite simply, his clay data this year is a lot better than Djokovic's. And I think this is really Alcaraz's match to lose.
I do, too. You and I are certainly not exclusive in that, but we're not without people thinking that the play is to take Djokovic plus the games.
Well, I think a lot of people are probably of the mindset that Djokovic is very rarely priced as an underdog for a start. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's an attraction in itself in terms of, you know, probably over the last 5 years he's been underdog less than 5 times in matches. So yeah, look, but that's a good illustration of the task that's ahead of him. Alcaraz, 20 years old, just turned 20 last month. And already with by far the best clay data on tour.
All right. So
this is crisis to lose.
So you're going to lay the games with Carlitos? Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm going to look at opportunities for that. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Probably some form of game handicap.
Okay. Dan Weston, everybody. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Dan. Again, another slam where you've been kind enough to come on radio. You've been kind enough to come on the podcast, where we had a bunch of, or not a bunch, but we had a couple quarter winners come through on Mukova and Beatrice Haddad Maia on that show. I look forward to talking to you when Wimbledon gets here next month.
Absolutely. Look forward to it, Gil. Always a pleasure.
Dan Weston, everybody. Great to see Dano at Tennis Ratings. So, Kelly, anything on the hockey game today? Anything on game 4 in the NBA Finals?
Nothing on hockey for me today, and nothing on NBA Finals yet.
Did the total move down too far to play it?
Yeah. Yep. In my opinion, yes.
I think so.
You can maybe look live, but the... we talked about on the show yesterday. I stayed off the game pregame, was going to look to get in on the under live, going to look to get in on Denver live. Those are really opportunities that never really presented themselves. So I ended up with no bets on it. 210.5. Yeah, I think you're getting to a point where that's sounding about right.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, again, I sort of gave my passionate reason as to why I was under on 215.5. It ended up getting down to 212.5 at one point and settled in at 213. The under couldn't have been easier. But at 210.5, so one would say, I mean, it ended up being well short of 210.5, and then that was with some fouls at the end. So one might say, well, then don't you want to play the under again?
5-point move. Both teams shot so bad from three.
That's right. All it takes is for the Heat to have one of those games.
I mean, side, this is okay. I'm not gonna get there, Gil. But I agree with Zach. If there's one game the West this way in this series that I would feel the most confident about the Miami Heat winning, it's game 4. If they don't win, I mean, game 4 this series is over probably in 5. I mean, this is over right away.
It's over. Well, I mean, we say that, but then the Heat have shown us before nothing is fait accompli with them. But if it is 2-2, man, after game 4, and by the way, game 4 is tomorrow night, and then game 5 not till Monday, yeah. Again, scheduling update.
I think Jimmy Butler points plus rebounds I'll probably end up on. He was weak on the glass that last game. You heard him talking post-game. That was a big emphasis for the team, and he's got to attack the rim more.
All right. Don't know if I'm going to have anything pre-flop. If anything, the Nuggets first half, but I don't know yet. I'm not sure yet. Still time to decide. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.